One day, the angel of the Lord came to a man named Gideon, who was working hard on his family's farm.
The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Go save God's people from their enemy.
But Gideon hesitated.
My family is the weakest in our tribe, and I am the weakest in our family.
Gideon, the Lord will be with you.
So, after talking some more with the angel, Gideon believed God and agreed to do what the angel had told him. Before long, Gideon had gathered up a great army. But when God saw it, he said,
"You have too many men. I don't want the Israelites to brag that they saved themselves."
So God told Gideon to make an announcement.
Any man who is afraid of the enemy may go home.
And thousands of them did just that. But then God told Gideon he still had too many men.
Take the men down to the water to drink. Keep only those men who use their hands to bring water to their mouths.
Most of the men carelessly tossed their weapons on the ground and put their faces right into the water. Only 300 soldiers drank the way God wanted. So this was Gideon's army. Next, God gave Gideon very strange instructions.
Each man is to take a trumpet, a jar, and a torch.
Later, in the dark of night, Gideon's men surrounded the camp while the enemy was sleeping. When everyone was in position, they shouted,
"The sword of the Lord has Gideon! The sword of the Lord!"
Then they blew their trumpets and smashed their pots, so the fire from their torches circled the enemy. But each of Gideon's men stayed in their place. Down in the valley, the enemy soldiers woke up and were so scared that they began fighting one another. With great noise and confusion, the enemy soldiers all ran away. And that is how God used Gideon to save his people from their enemies.
I think I jumped the gun just a minute ago. I wanted to get up here right after that song because I know your pastor, who's usually here, he is my very best friend in the world, so I'm allowed to say these things. Usually gets up here and talks about sweaty college guys on some kind of gridiron in some obscure university in Alabama, and he expects some way to apply that to the message. And I've never gotten it. I don't know how you can put Alabama into everything you're going to say. The song that we did, however, you heard the name Gideon several times. See? And it was a Gideon's Bible. Do you know what's on the front of a Gideon's Bible? A little picture. It's a clay pot. Have you ever noticed? In a motel room, pick one up and look on the cover. It's a clay pot just like what they broke in the video. So we brought some class today. Just felt like it was incumbent on me to do that from time to time. Do you know the story of Gideon? I mean, is it familiar to you? I mean, it's one of those Old Testament stories that doesn't get told much. And the video only told part of it, so we're going to fill in the rest. The whole part about the fleece, what's with that? You know, you remember that part, right? Well, we're going to talk about that some too. But in the story, the way they told it, the Midianites were the problem. The Midianites were this like this swarm of people who, the scripture says they had so many camels, they ran out of parking spaces. I mean, just camel after camel after camel. And they were a hungry bunch of people. They ate everything in sight. I think most of them were like between the age of 14 and 18. And they just ate everything they could see. And so Israel was in a fix. They were running out of food. They were running for their lives. They were hiding in caves. and they thought that the Midianites were the problem. But if you unpack this story, you realize that the problem is not the problem. And when you think about your life, and we're going to unpack this as we go through here, usually the problem is not the problem. If it's a relational problem, a vocational problem, an addiction, a habit, whatever, that's usually not the problem. It usually goes deeper. And in this situation, you know, you have this swarm of people. The scripture even describes them as like swarming locusts. You have them coming in your land. They got all these animals. They're hungry. And you literally find Israel hiding in caves. And Gideon, which they didn't really bring out in the video, Gideon is even threshing wheat in a wine press, which when you brush across that in scripture, you don't make a big deal out of that. But a wine press was more hidden and more private, more dark. If he had threshed his wheat out in the open where the breezes usually blow the chaff away, the Midianites would have seen it and come and taken his food. So he had to do it in a wine press where they couldn't see it. I don't know where the breeze came from to blow the chaff away, but he was threshing wheat in a wine press. What's interesting about this story is that God proves very quickly that the problem is not the problem. He literally says, you got too many men. You still got too many men. Get rid of the army. Get it down to nothing. And no, don't take swords. Don't take spears. Take a piece of pottery. Take a flashlight. Take a saxophone. That's all you need. Surround the camp. 300 of you. This is a fly swatter deal, not a heavy artillery deal. You can take care of this with very few men and really obscure weaponry. It's not that big a deal. And so he immediately puts in place, hey, the problem is not the problem. What you perceive as earth-shaking, life-ending, life will never be the same after this, that is not your problem. The problem is something else. And so when you look at this story and unpack it, which, again, the video did a good job, it didn't quite unpack it the way we're going to, the real problem is that Gideon, along with Israel, stopped trusting God to be who he says he is. They simply stopped trusting him. Several times in the story, as it goes for several chapters, several times in the story, they hearken back to the story of when God rescued Israel out of Egypt. Have you already had that story here? I mean, you everybody knows that. He comes in the burning bush and he talks to Moses and he said, go get my people. I've heard their cries. Let's get them out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. So that story is a hot story with the Israelites. They don't forget that story and they circulate it and they talk about it a lot. And so even in the story of Gideon, that comes up. I've heard about what happened in Egypt. And Gideon even faces, when God sends an angel, Gideon faces the angel and says, what's with that God? What's with that? He's not here. He was in Egypt, obviously. He ain't here because we got these Midianites. We don't have any food. We're hiding in caves. I like the story, but it doesn't mean a thing to us right now. It's interesting that in the story when God rescued the people out of Egypt, he was very obvious. I mean, what's with the pillar of smoke, the pillar of fire? I mean, right after getting out of Egypt, any morning you woke up, you just put the flap back on your tent and looked and said, yep, there's God. I can rest easy right there. And eventually there's manna, very much evident that God is there. Back in Egypt, plagues that could be explained no other way than we have a very active, very strong, very involved God. And then God spoke over and over and over through Moses. Moses would come out and say, this is what God says. Once they got out in the wilderness, there was even a tent he went into. It says when he came out of the tent, his fire face would just be all aglow because he'd been talking to God. So God was very, very present in this Egypt thing, and that he was, I don't mean to be irreverent, he was quite chatty. And he was quite powerful. And the power was evident. Pillars, plagues, all this stuff. And so Gideon and the people in his day, here they are in the land of Israel, They don't have any real leader anymore. Moses is gone. Joshua's gone. They've got a bunch of little clan leaders here and there, but they don't have a king yet. They don't have a central prophet yet. They're just kind of left wondering. They're not wandering anymore, but they're just kind of wondering, how does this work? And so they hear these stories and they assume, well, since God is not doing plagues and since God is not here in a pillar of smoke or fire, he's not here. And since God is not talking through a prophet, Moses, God is not here. God doesn't care. We are off his radar. The Midianites are here. We're supposed to be his people, and God doesn't care. It really generated some abandonment issues. And that's kind of where we need to stop for a second or two. Have you gone through periods in your life when you're hurting about as bad as you've ever hurt, and the doubt levels are way up here, and the fear levels are way up here, and you cry out to God, and there's the ancients used to say, it's as if the sky is brass. You pray, and it just bounces back down. There are no pillars of smoke or fire. There is no manna. There are no signs. There are no wonders that God is active. And so you naturally assume God has abandoned me. Now, at church, you're not supposed to admit that. But let's get really honest. Who hasn't been there? Who hasn't been in those dark places? You know, the illness of somebody you love, the death of someone you love, the tragic jerking around that life does to us with the loss of a job or whatever. Who hasn't been there? Places where you just think, I am no longer on God's radar. God is interested in something else besides me. He doesn't care so much about me anymore. I don't want to belittle our suffering, but it's almost as if when God doesn't panic like we do, we assume he doesn't care. When we face the big bad Midianites of life and we panic, who wouldn't? And we panic. We assume that if God cares and if God is here, he will exhibit an equal level of panic. He will be just as disrupted as we are. And God says of the Midianites, your army is too big, your weaponry is too sharp. Take the less men, less men, less men, put down your swords, just pots and saxophones. That's all you need. So God views our issues and our problems from his perspective, not ours. And so if we expect a knee-jerk reaction from God, if we expect God to be confounded or panicked by our Midianites, it ain't going to happen. Because God sees the Midianites as a fly swatter issue, not a heavy artillery issue. He sees it a different way than we do. But just because he doesn't speak and just because he doesn't throw lightning bolts does not mean he's not there. So the first problem in this story is that Gideon and his folks forgot, or they stopped trusting God to be who he says he was. God's not jumping through the hoops we want him to jump through, so he's no longer the God he says he is. Baloney. He's still the same God. But there's always a second problem that happens when we stop trusting God to be who he says he is. Always, as a secondary problem, we forget who we are. With God out of the picture, now we always see ourselves in the light of our problems. We no longer see ourselves in the light of, I'm a child of God who cares intimately and infinitely about me. We don't see ourselves in that light anymore. The only way we see ourselves is in the light of our problems. Our problem is huge, and I'm small and insecure, and nobody knows, and nobody cares, and nobody's coming to my rescue. That's how we begin to see life. As soon as God is gone, that's how we see ourselves. It's interesting that in Gideon's eyes, and there again it wasn't in the video, in Gideon's eyes, when the angel originally showed up to talk to him, the angel addressed him as a mighty warrior. The guy is threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding from the enemy, And the angel goes, this angel's from God. This angel shows up and says, guess what I see in you? When I look at you, guess what I see? I see a mighty warrior. And immediately, Gideon's with, no, I'm the least of the least of the least. From the smallest tribe, we're in the smallest clan in that smallest tribe, and I'm the smallest in that clan. I am a gnat. I am a nothing. I am a nobody. So he'd completely lost track of who he was because he had lost track of who God was. The Midianites are not the problem. Not at all. The problem is that they stopped trusting God to be who he says he was and consequently lost track of who they were. So in this story, we tend to think that God's agenda is the Midianites. I challenge you to read the chapters in Judges where you find this story and see how much time God spends on the Midianites and how much time he spends on Gideon. It's hugely, if you did a pie chart, the Midianites get a sliver. The rest of the story, God is dealing with Gideon, reintroducing him to himself. I'm here, I'm God. And reintroducing himself, he introduces Gideon to Gideon. This is the real Gideon. I want you to see who you are. I want you to see who I am, and I want you to see who you are. So I just want to unpack this real quick. Remember we said that the Israelites, and Gideon especially, had severe abandonment issues. Anybody ever dealt with that? Sometimes we learn those things in our childhood. We have parents who have jobs that just keep them away from us. We have relationships that left us feeling, they broke apart and left us feeling abandoned. You know what it feels like to feel abandoned. They had severe abandonment issues. And so it's interesting when Gideon talked to the, I haven't unpacked this as well as I should have. God didn't show up first, an angel did. So the first conversation Gideon had with heaven, let's put it that way, was through a God rep, not God himself, talks to an angel. And the angel's the one says, you're the mighty warrior. And so Gideon has this conversation with this angel, and it's really interesting. I guess he saw that the angel was getting his car keys ready or something, getting ready to go. So he said, hold on. Before you go, can I go fix you a meal? And what it was, he didn't say, come in the kitchen while I fix it. He said, it even says in the story, he said, would you wait for me while I go prepare a meal? I'm going to go around the corner out of sight where I won't be able to see you anymore. When I come back, will you still be here? The conversation went that way, and the angel said, yeah, I'll be here. What was Gideon doing? Our God has disappeared. Our God doesn't stay like he says he will. Will you be here when I get back? And the angel said, sure enough, I will. So Gideon goes and brings the meal, takes the meal back to the angel. There he sits under the tree. And then the angel did some crazy fire thing with the meal. I don't know what that was. But anyway, but he was there. That's the point. He was there. And then this fleece thing. Y'all remember, that's what people remember Gideon by, is this fleece thing. So finally when God gets him ready to go to war against the Midianites, I want to make sure this is the right thing, God. I want to make sure that this is you talking to me. So I'm going to go to bed. In other words, again, I'm going to go around the corner where I can't see you. And I'm going to leave this fleece out here. And when I come back in the morning, if you've been here and if you're true to your word, the fleece will be wet and the ground will be dry. So Gideon goes off and he goes to bed. He comes back. Voila, God did what he said. So Gideon was like, so he was here. Even when I went off to bed, he was here. One more time. So the next night, it's will you leave the fleece dry and have the ground around it wet? I'm going to go off. I'm going to leave you now, God. I'm going to go out of sight. Are you going to be here when I get back? Or at least, is evidence of your presence going to be here when I get back? Sure enough, he shows up the next morning. The fleece is dry and the ground is wet. Isn't that interesting that God cared enough about this one little guy to say, I'll jump through your hoops. I will deal with your abandonment issues. Three times he did. So finally, Gideon got that part. So that's one thing. God dealing with Gideon. He was helping helping him realize I'm still the same with you, God, that I was back in Egypt. I'm not a God who abandons. I'm still with you. And then someplace in the story that wasn't told in the video, the angel says to Gideon, now there's this issue of your dad and his idols. He's got this idol to Baal, and then he's got this Asherah pole. And those are foreign idols. Those are not me. Those are something else. I suppose the Israelites, maybe under the cover of dark, maybe even Gideon, under the cover of dark, went out and tried to get them to talk to him. Well, our real God won't talk to us. Will you talk to us? Those would have been really interesting conversations. Sitting out there talking to a pole. I don't know how that works. Dead silence, crickets, you know. So God said to Gideon at some point, he said, okay, I want to give you a little test run. I want to help you start to discover the mighty warrior that you don't think you are. I want to help you discover the warrior that's inside you. And so I want you to tear down your dad's idol. And I want you to tear down that Asherah pole. And Gideon was like, whoa. The whole community will be down my neck. You know, this is going to be trouble. So the warrior came out, but not big time. He did it at night. He did it when nobody's watching. But he did it. He did it. And word came around that he was the one that did it. And he got away with it. He got away with it. Nobody got him. Nobody arrested him. He didn't get stoned or anything. But he got away with it. So he discovered, I can do some of this warrior stuff. I am not quite as small as I thought I was. And then toward the very end, after the fleece thing, just about ready to go down and get the Midianites, if you ever heard this part of the story, where God says, all right, now I want you to go down and eavesdrop on the Midian camp. So Gideon takes a guy, and they go down there on a spy mission to the Midianite camp. And he puts his ear up against a tent, and they're inside there talking about how scared they are of him. Yeah. One of them says to the other in the tent, I don't know where Gideon learned Midianite language, but he heard it. And they said, I had a dream last night. I had a dream that Gideon rolled into camp like a barley loaf. That's pretty ferocious, a loaf of bread, you know. But you think about it, they came into the country to eat food. Food was going to be their undoing. Here they come, a loaf of bread. So they start, and they say, and the loaf rolled through camp and utterly destroyed all the Midianites. Surely this is the might of Gideon. And Gideon heard this. So the angel was not the only one telling Midianite, you're a mighty warrior. He's hearing it from the enemy. They think I'm a mighty warrior. So word was getting out. He tore up his dad's idols. He's got this thing going with God. We need to fear him. And then, you know, really once you get to the last part of the story, it's like, really? It doesn't hardly mean as much anymore because Gideon already has it. He's already got it. Our God is who he says he is, and I'm who he says I am. The problem was already solved. Oh, yeah, and then those Midianites down there. You kind of need to get rid of them too. And so literally 300 guys with a pot, a torch, and some those things they blew. I don't know. I'd rather have a saxophone. That's why I'm saying saxophone. It would just have a better effect. You know when you can't play a saxophone and you try to play one? That's pretty scary. I'm just saying. Be a little better than one of those ram horns. So here they show up around camp and they, you know, they're a shrunken, loud, toothless army, and there's this utter defeat of the Midianites. I mean, they just turn on each other. And if you read on into the story, then there's a proper battle. There's a proper battle. When the Midianites run, Gideon and his buds do take up arms, and other Israelites take up arms, and they go, and the Midianites are no longer a problem. They're literally no problem at all. That gnat is squashed. It's the fly swatter worked. Boom. They're gone. And so under Gideon, Israel enjoyed quite a period of peace and balance and trust in God. Think about that. Just think about that for a while. What do you, I mean, you're going to get up tomorrow. It's Monday morning. You're going to get up tomorrow and face a new week. And your problems are going to be there. And it's going to be more than just a to-do list at work on your desk. You know, it's going to be issues and crises and relationships and hurt feelings. And it's going to be all kind of stuff you don't. A to-do list is okay. You can get that done. But all this other stuff, this negative stuff, how are we going to deal with that? Maybe the first thing to do is to realize that the problem is not the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is that we have forgotten to trust God to be who He says He is. He loves us. He will never leave us. He is a very good God. He never means us ill. He is always our ally. Trust God to be who He says He is. And in the light of that, look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, that kind of redefines who I am. I'm a child of this God. We've got a lot of parents here today. Think of how you feel about your kids. Think about what you would do to provide for your kids and protect your kids and see to it that your kids had a good life. What would you do? What end would you go to for that? Okay, get it? Get the relationship there? So you see who God is, trust Him to be who He says He is, and then realize, and this is where I fall in that relationship. That changes the way you live. And the very last point I was going to make in my message, I found out I was doing the benediction today after communion, so I'm going to make that point then. So let's just bow and talk to Jesus. Jesus, thank You for that You're the same God You've always been, that You're our dad, that You take care of us, that we are never off Your radar, ever, ever, and that You will see to it that life is good for us, and You will see to it that we live in Your love if we let You love us the way You want us to. Thank You for the story of Gideon, and thank You for the time You spent with him until he got it, and we're going to trust You to do the same with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how you all usually do communion here. I'm not a formal guy. I just not. I don't know how to be. If I tried, I